Welcome to the 180 Podcast. You are listening to a teaching of the 180, a new church committed to learning to love Jesus and love like Jesus. Our prayer is that God would use this teaching to help you grow closer to Him and that you would feel moved to join us in person, where you can grow in community with the larger 180 family.
Bienvenue à la balado-diffusion de l'Église 180. Vous écoutez un enseignement de l'Église 180, une nouvelle Église qui s'est engagée à apprendre à aimer Jésus et à aimer comme Jésus. Notre prière est que Dieu utilisera cet enseignement afin de vous aider à vous rapprocher de lui et que cela vous donne envie de vous joindre à nous en personne où vous pourrez vous épanouir au sein de la communauté qu'est la grande famille de l'Église 180.
I remember a time in my life how hard it was for me to believe that God could forgive me because of something that I did. I remember how hard it was in my life to believe that God would maybe use me because when I was really, really young, I had this kind of story that went through my mind because of something somebody said to me one day. And it's a long story. But this story that was, this person said something to me, and based on what they said, I started to tell myself a story. And the story was based on the fact that one day I met this person, and I was kind of thinking about Bible college, and I was thinking about maybe being a pastor, and I was thinking about religion, and I was thinking about all these questions. And in this process, I was landscaping. I was like doing landscaping, which is like the best ghetto job you'll end up hating forever. So it's like I just had these long hours, and I used to do it, and I had the sense that God was slowly maybe awakening in me a different calling. And I had no idea what this meant. And I was talking to somebody about this, and when I was chatting with them about this, they asked me this question that really made me feel like broken inside. They said to me, "Hey, is your dad a pastor?" And I said, "No." And they said, "Is your grandfather a pastor?" And I said, "No." He's like, "Who in your family is a pastor?" I'm like, "Nobody." I said, I'm the first person that would ever even consider this if God called me to that. And that conversation, as we kept talking, made me feel like because I didn't know how to be a pastor, because nobody had taught me to be that I probably couldn't be a pastor. Or I couldn't go on and be this thing that I felt God was maybe saying to me. And I started to tell myself the story. I thought, you know what, I don't want to tell anyone. And I always would dread when somebody would ask me about my family. Because I'd be like, well, it doesn't matter what they do. Like I think because I felt that my story was connected to the way my family was. All of us have these moments where a story or something that happens to us begins to shape in us a view of who God is. And Jesus comes to heal that. If it's incorrect or if it needs to be stretched. Me and you and all of us at different points in our lives have an image in our minds of what we think God is like. And you can think of that image. You can think of a story that someone told you. But this morning, I want to invite you to believe that what God is like is what Jesus tells us God is like. What God is like is what Jesus shows us God is like. That He's the one who comes and enters our world and He begins to reveal God to us by washing our feet. That Jesus would wash my feet. That Jesus would wash your feet. Can you imagine? Jesus says, "Hey, today, it's time for you to let me wash your feet. It's time for you to understand that I came to serve you and to care for you in a way that you could not care for yourself." Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus is the only one that can do something for you that you can't do for yourself? Because that's what washing feet will mean. And the disciples and Peter and all of them are like, no, not me. This is crazy. You're not doing this. And this is what we're told. A few verses down, Jesus finishes doing this. It's kind of that awkward moment. You're like, that was awkward. I hope my feet didn't smell. I don't know. That was weird. Guys, did my feet smell? I'm sorry, Jesus. I didn't wash them for a few days. Like, just, it's kind of an awkward thing. It's not like a nice painting that you have in your house. Like, it's super awkward. They finish, you know, they get to the table, and they're going to eat and talk some more. And Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." This is the big shift. You believed in God. Now, you must believe in me if you're going to understand this. Because everybody believes in God. He says, "You have to believe in me now." He says, "My Father's house has many rooms." And I'll get back to that in a second. "If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." This is one of the first moments where Jesus is going to finish washing feet, and now he's going to talk about a path. He's going to talk about going somewhere. You see how he does this? Like feet, clean feet, walk. There's actually verses in the Bible about how great are the feet of those who go and share, right? It's these beautiful prayers, and they know these prayers. They understand this. So Jesus is like, first I'm going to wash your feet, and then I'm going to talk to you about the way. I'm going to talk to you about where I'm going. And this is an important passage, and this is an important thing we have to understand. Because for many people, if you grew up in church, maybe some of you did not grow up in church, you're watching online, this is all kind of new for you. This passage is not kind of doesn't have a backstory to it, but for some of you it does. So I want to take like 2 minutes, and I want to explain to you the backstory of this verse. Because in many, many of the oldest translations we have of the Bible, especially, how many of you like reading the King James Bible? Like the British, King James, yeah. So if you look this passage up in the King James, the word for rooms there is the word mansions, okay? Now, many people learn about this passage, and they see that word, and they read the word mansions there, and they develop in their minds a view that's like, one day, Jesus is going to come back and take us to our mansion in heaven, right? But the actual proper word that's used here is the word for rooms, right? And what Jesus is going to say, he's like, in my Father's, right? Do a little picture here. I'm going to try to draw a little thing. You understand this. Is that there's one house, right? My Father's house, chimney. Jesus has a chimney house. Jesus needs a window. Window house, right? There's like rooms. The Hebrew word for this is rooms. It's rooms that people have because they're part of a new kingdom. And oftentimes, I think when we read this passage and we hear certain words and they're used in a certain way, we hear mansions, we can think, oh, Jesus is going to come back to bring us to each our mansions that we have. That's not what it says, okay? It's these rooms. And what Jesus is trying to say to his disciples is what I'm about to do now is going to give you a whole new perspective on the kind of life that you get to live if you trust me and you trust the Father. It's not a life where you have to be disoriented and overwhelmed. First of all, he begins by saying, I don't want you to be troubled anymore because in the next few hours when they take me, you will be overwhelmed. You will be overwhelmed with so many things you don't even know how to be overwhelmed. This week I had a conversation with two people, two different conversations, and as we were talking, I could feel that as if they were speaking to me, their hearts were troubled. You ever have one of those conversations? Where you think it's going to be just a coffee, and as a person starts to talk, or maybe it happened to you, you could feel the weight of something that you're carrying, and you feel this troubled heart. Jesus says to his disciples, don't let your hearts be troubled. When's the last time you were troubled with something? When's the last time you were carrying something, and you felt like just the weight of the world, things kept breaking, and there was new challenges, and this wasn't coming together, and that, and you're like, if there is a God, like I need him to show himself now, because this is ridiculous. I don't think I'm going to believe in God much longer. Like, and Jesus says, it's going to feel that way sometimes. But you have to understand that I'm going to prepare a place, and what he means, we often think, it's like some place in heaven. This place in heaven where we're going to wander away one day, and Jesus is actually going to come back and be with them and give them a new perspective that heaven is not just some place you go when you die, but the kingdom of God is something you can experience right now in this life. Such a different view of the way we often learn about this passage. We often learn about this passage is that we have to wait till we die one day to go up to some mansion. And Jesus is not saying that that's not true, but he's saying you understand that what I'm going to do now provides relief and peace for your life right now, not just when you die, not just one day because you have a ticket to heaven. That's not what it's about. And they're very, very confused. They're like, where are you going? And you can imagine like how hard it is for the disciples to understand this. They're like so confused. They've been with Jesus for 3 years, and they're like, really? How many of you would say you think a passage like this, and you're like, I'm confused today? How many of you? All of you got it? Oh, I did a good job. Sweet. Okay. No, but you read this and you're like, we're just learning about this and we feel like, what does this mean that Jesus is going to come for us and that there's a place for us that's bigger than we can imagine, but yet we can trust in the power of what he's doing that's available for us now. What does that mean? I can feel how hard that is to understand that. I've been in times in my life where I'm like, I need to experience what it means to know how to trust God so that my heart would not be troubled. I know that feeling. And yet the overwhelming pressures of things I'm going through makes me feel like, oh, Jesus, if only you could come and take me away. If only you could come and fix this. In the ancient world, there actually was a religion that had a clause in it that if you got to the place in your life where you couldn't handle the pressures of everything, you could kill yourself. Think about this. Jesus says, hey, by the way, all the other religions in the world, I'm not like them. This is not the same thing. This is different. This is the first time you're going to understand something that you never understood about God before. That one, as you believe in God, now also believe in me. I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again, that to be a Christian is not just to be someone who says, I believe in God. It's to be a person who decides that you're going to be a disciple of Jesus. That's it. Like, full stop, very, very simple. You get a tattoo of it if you want. Super easy. It's like Jesus reveals to us who God the Father is. And we trust what he says, and we trust that what he says to us about God the Father is true. And if you believe that, you know what you would be able to do? You'd be able to trust him when your heart is troubled. That's what you do. He says, if you believe this, and you believe in me, as Moses taught you to believe in God, now it's me, right? I'm the one that's going to point you to who God is. Don't let your heart be troubled. This is much more beautiful than you can imagine, or you will see in the next few days now. Because when I'm on the cross, like, you have no idea. So you have the one who has all power and all authority, who's washing people's feet, and now he's giving them this new picture of what God's like. And this is what he says at the end. I'm going to close this. He says this. Thomas said to him, Thomas is always, he's the go-getter, right? He's going to doubt. He has questions. I love Thomas. Lord, we don't know where you are going. So how can we know the way? Isn't that the best question somebody should ask? What are you talking about, Jesus? We don't know where you're going. Like, you don't leave us a map? How do we know where you're going to be? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Just let that sink in. I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. You don't have to really panic about this, man. Don't let your hearts be troubled. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do not know him, you do know him, and have seen him. Now let me just try to unpack this just for a few minutes. So turn to the person next to you and say, don't fall asleep now. Okay? Just right now. Just don't fall. You can fall asleep after. In 10 minutes, you can fall asleep. Don't fall asleep now. You have to understand. Some of you just woke up. You're like, hey, what's happened? I was already sleeping. What happened? Just don't fall asleep right now. Some of you have to understand how mind-blowing it would have been for a people who grew up in my house is going to disappear. In a world where Moses gave the people, anybody know Moses gave the people on the mountain? God gave Moses what? 10 commandments. What's the first commandment? Right? And you should not make any what of me? No idols or images. Imagine Jesus says, you've now seen the image of the Father. And they're like, are you kidding me? There is no image of the, like, Jesus, have you read about Moses? Like, are you serious? Do you want them to kill you? Don't tell anyone this. What you told us right now, don't tell anyone. But Jesus is like, no, you have to understand this. If you've seen me, you now have an image of what the Father looks like. You now can understand what it means for the love of the Father to be visible to you in real life. They're like, you sure Moses is not going to get mad? Like, you think about all the religions, the categories that they have, and Jesus is about to explode all of that, and they're like, wow. And then he uses this phrase that we often hear a certain way, and I want to just, again, I want to just expand the way we hear it a little bit. He uses this phrase where he says, I'm the way, and I'm the truth, and I'm the life. And I've preached about this before a long time ago, and I've talked about how, I mean, I grew up hearing this passage read, I am the way, or the truth, not hearing all of it together. And what Jesus is trying to help them understand, and the whole verse in context explains this better, rather than just that one verse, he's saying, I am the only way that you will understand who the Father is. I am the ultimate way for you to understand the truth about who God is. I am the only one who can give you a picture of what the love of the Father actually looks like. I'm the only one. I'm the only one who can help you understand the love of God and the love that he has for you. That picture of God can only come from one way. From me, he'll say. Now, for many of us who don't understand it that way, we end up thinking that the way is a path where you get a ticket to get to heaven. Like it's a ticket path, right? And yeah, fine, you could do that, but the whole passage actually talks about knowing the Father. The whole verse is like, if you understand that I'm the only way in which you will know who the Father really is, you get the whole text, right? You understand it in context. But if you just pull out that verse and read, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, you quickly think, how do you just find your way somewhere? And if you're on the wrong way, you're going to pay. That's it. But what Jesus is saying is like, no, you don't understand. I'm the only way to understand the truth and to live the kind of life that the Father has in store for you. I'm the only way that you will really understand the truth about who God is and be able to live the life the Father has in store for you. I'm the only way. It's a totally different conversation than saying, this is about who the right way to heaven is. It's a totally different conversation. Now think about that in light of the story I told you about Luca and his religion class. Think about how different it is when we decide that we're going to be people because we've been impressed by the way of Jesus, that we're going to model what it's like to trust the way Jesus taught us about the Father and the truth that Jesus gave us about the Father, to live the kind of life that always points people to the Father. Imagine that, how easy it is to have a conversation with somebody who doesn't believe in Christianity when you live that kind of life. So easy. Right? They're like, I don't believe in this. I'm like, it's okay. I mean, I know you're not there yet. I believe in all kinds of things. I'm like, okay. Like, there's a way of Jesus that we're trying to live that's about kind of a different way of life that's built on a teaching of God that's very different, and it's about love. Well, what's this God that you believe in? Well, let's begin with this, that the God that we believe in washes people's feet. So how can I serve you the way Jesus has washed my feet? See what a different conversation that is? See what a different category that is? When you really feel this passage in this way, at this table, people still putting on their shoes, their sandals. Did he just say, I'm the way, the truth, and the life? What does that even mean? What's happening? Like, it's mind-blowing. When you hear Jesus say it like this, you're like, of course we can make room and try to help others understand what it means to welcome Jesus if they don't believe that yet. Of course we can hold on to the truth that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life to the Father. Of course we can do that. And instead, when we hear this passage in a confrontation way, you know what we always forget? That Jesus, who has all power, just washed his disciples' feet. Does someone who's washing people's feet look like he's someone who's going into a fight? Can you imagine? I got a towel. Sa, sa, like in the shower. Like, is that what he's doing? Gonna get you, our religion is right. You're gonna burn in hell. I don't know. Sorry, Facebook, sorry. But it doesn't even connect. It's like, I'm the way, the truth, all the power's been given to me. Now wash each other's feet and show other people what it means that you're going to wash their feet. I'm going to impress this on you. I'm going to impress this on your heart. Am I the way, the truth, and the life? You better believe I am the way. I am the truth. I am before Moses was. I am the one. And if you believe in me, then you're going to live the way I lived. If you truly believe that Jesus is the way, if you truly believe that Jesus is the truth and the life, if you believe that, whose feet are you washing this week? Whose? Jesus is like, all power is given to me. I'll give you tons of power. Go serve everybody. Serve people. Because when we live out of the context of that part of the story and we show people this is what the Father is like, then all the conversations that we've tried to have with people of other beliefs and other faiths, and trust me, Quebec's dealing with that issue in a whole other political way. They're going to need a church that models what it's like to do this in Jesus' way. And we're going to show them how. We're going to model this kind of life. And not only going to model it, we're going to impress it on our children so they know how to do it. We're going to show them what it means to be open and honest when it's like they just have to practice this way of life, believing with all of their hearts that Jesus is the way and that he is the truth and that he is the life. And all religions are actually not the same. But Jesus has a way of saying, hey, this is my way. This is what it looks like when you really follow me. This is hard for us to understand sometimes because it's so much easier just telling people that they don't have the right answer. It's so much easier to say, well, let's have a debate on social media. Nonsense, never do that. Like, it's so much easier than to say, you know what, I'm going to kind of model the kind of selfless way of life that Jesus left us so that people will understand the truth of who the Father is so that they will live a new life. I'm going to do that. It's so much harder to do that. But Jesus says, if you believe in me and you've seen the Father now, this is what the Father looks like, everybody, right here. Not me, but Jesus. Right? He says, if you've seen this, now you're going to go have to do this. Now they understand why Jesus washed their feet. Because they have to be trusted to go now and speak on behalf of Jesus. If Jesus does not correct this view that they have of God the Father, they can never be trusted to be his disciples. If Jesus doesn't correct this and correct their understanding of the loving God that's about to make a whole new way, not only for the Jewish people, but for everybody, to come to the Father, if they don't understand this, they can never, ever, ever be trusted to be his disciples. And the person who has the most trouble with letting Jesus wash his feet, Peter, will be the first person to hurt somebody when they leave the house. He'll have a sword and he'll cut somebody's ear off, we're told. Jesus is like, I just washed your feet. I just gave you a picture of what power looks like in the kingdom. And you're trying to kill people? Oh, I was ready for a debate about how we're right. She's like, really? Jesus invites all of us to welcome him as the way, the truth, and the life. And only when we believe that can we understand what the love of the Father is really like. Only. This week I was working on my sermon and I had this moment where I was going to visit someone for a coffee and I got lost. And it being lost is a strange concept today, right? Because you're like, do you have a phone? Do you have an app? Do you have like a map? Do you have the British lady telling you where to go? So how did you get lost? You know, so it's like getting lost is such a foreign concept. And so in my phone, I put it in, and I had to go to this coffee shop, and I put it in, and I was following the GPS, so I looked like I was going to the right place. And it was one of those streets where, you know, the same name of the street and the same number appears in two places in the same street, and you're like, there is no God. No, I didn't say that. Joke, relax. And so I went all the way, and I'm looking for a coffee shop, and I get to the address of the thing. You are now here, to your right, and it's a barn. I'm like, how the heck? I'm writing to Google. I'm suing. I'm so mad, right? So I'm trying to tell the person I'm going to be late because I went to the address, but I'm in the wrong place. And the whole time, you know, I had a sense in me that I was going the wrong way. I'm like, I kind of know where this coffee shop is, but I kept going and kept going. And I remember the feeling. I'm like, I think I'm lost. Like, I think I'm lost. Like, I think I'm lost. I think I have to do a U-turn right now, but I think I'm lost. And I kept in my head saying, no, I'm just going to be fine. I'm going to be fine. And at one point, I got to this place, and I'm like, I'm so lost. I have no idea where I am. You know what? Until we don't get to the place in our life where we can admit, we admit sometimes that we're lost, we will never follow Jesus as the way. Never. You're going to find your own way. Yeah, I got it. No, I got it. I don't need this. I don't need God, Jesus. I don't need any of that. I know how it works. No, nobody's washing my feet. Nobody's washing my feet. I got this. And I thought in a very, it's a joke kind of way, that for me, I was like, I was really lost. And Jesus was going to say to me, in my own life, oftentimes, Dom, going this way is going to get you lost, more lost. I'm like, no, I'm following what people told me. It's going to be fine. I'm going to do it this way. All of us have to make a decision in our lives to admit that the way of Jesus is not a way that we just find on our own. The way of Jesus is a way that he reveals to us and he teaches us how not to be lost. And some of you know this and some of you maybe don't remember. This church is called the 180 for a reason. It's called the 180 because at different times in our lives, Jesus will turn things around. The 180 is to do a U-turn, to just turn, to say, hey, I'm going in the wrong direction. I think I'm lost. Like, if I keep going this way, is this going to be okay? And Jesus is like, it's not going to be okay. You can't just pretend that there's no consequences to believing in any God that you want. You can't just pretend that life is about telling everybody that you're right and fighting with everybody about the way, the truth, and the life. You can't keep doing this. You have to welcome me as the great I am now. You believed in the Father and God, now also believe in me. And if you believe in me, you will welcome me when I reveal to you that there's ways in your life and things that you have to learn and trust the truth of what I tell you about the Father. I asked the worship team to do the song, that the special that they sang for us one more time. I'm going to have you stand, and I'm going to encourage you to sing it this time. And I'm going to encourage you to pay attention to one thing this week, to the ways that Jesus is going to impress the truth, that he's the way, the truth, and the life in your life. And one of the ways that he's going to do this is he's going to invite you to serve someone. He's going to invite you to model what it's like that you really believe that he's the great king who comes with all power and yet comes to serve others. And that if you're really serious about following Jesus, you'd be willing to practice the way of life that he left us. To practice and say, you know what? Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life that we can understand and have if we really get the way of life he came to show us. Let me just pray for us before we sing. Jesus, today we want to acknowledge that it's because of you that we're here. We need you to wash our feet. We need you to wash our minds and our hearts. We need you to cleanse us of the things that will keep us from seeing who the Father is really like. We need you to teach us what it means to be people who are on this way and who embody this truth that you left for us so that others would know that you are the only way to the Father. The only glimpse of the Father comes from you. The only true understanding of what the Father's like comes from you. Would you wash us now? Would you cleanse our thoughts and our minds and our hearts? Do a new thing in us. Do in us what you did for Peter. Do in us what you're going to do for Thomas. Do in us and give us a new glimpse of the love of the Father. Yes, Moses was helpful, but you are the great I am. And you are the one who was there from the beginning. And you don't change. And you're stable. And you remind us that we can live the kind of life where our hearts are not troubled. We pray this in your name, Jesus. As we sing now, may you be glorified.